Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Bava Metzia daf Ches. We are holding at the top of Ches Amud Aleph, the first line. I think V'hada Amar Rava, is that where you guys got up to? Perfect. So the Gemara Amud Aleph is basically going to discuss Hamavia Metzia L'Chavero, whether or not that's Kona. If a person picks up an item which is found on behalf of his friend in order that his friend should acquire ownership in it, will that acquire the object for his friend or not? The Gemara is going to have a long discussion about that. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss whether or not you could be kona something while riding it, whether you could be kona something when leading an animal, which exactly is preferred, which is a preferred method of acquiring, leading or riding. And then the Gemara is going to discuss exactly what the case in the Mishnah is, where we're talking about one person leading the animal and one person riding the animal. So we're holding at the top of Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara had been discussing various cases where you have to split an item. And the Gemara was trying to prove that when we say that you have to split something, it means you split the value of it, but you don't actually split it in half, because often splitting it in half is going to lead to destroying the object. So the Gemara picks up with that discussion, various cases where we say that we have to split. Rava says that if you have a talis, let's say shnayim oxen betalis, the talis is plated with gold, that we would divide it. So would you really think that we would actually split it in half? Ha'afsidua, you're going to completely destroy the object by splitting it in half if it's made of gold. So says the Gemara, ha'lokashya dechazia livnei malachim. This is not a problem. We could say that we are going to split the talis, which is plated with gold, in half, and it's still going to be useful, it's still going to be usable, because it could be roi livnei malachim. It could be fit for the children of kings, because previously, the Gemara had said, how could we split up a talis if that's going to destroy the item? So the Gemara said it's not going to destroy the item because it'll make small talisim, it'll make small garments, and those will be fit for children. So then the Gemara brings up this case of Rava, and Tosos points out, when we said that the previous talis, which was not plated with gold, was fit for children, says Tosos, uparach the talis mutheves lo avdi lektanim. That's why we specifically bring up a talis, a garment which is plated with gold, because that's not fit for children. And so the Gemara is assuming that there's not going to be an answer to this. And the Gemara says, no, we still have an answer, which is that a talis mutheves, a talis which is plated with gold, could still be fit for the children of kings. It might not be fit for normal children, but if we can make small garments out of it, which will be fit for kings because they're plated with gold and it'll be very regal, then there would still be a use for it. So it could be that we actually split the object in half, we don't just divide up the value. So now the Gemara has another case. Well, the Mishnah had said that if you have two people who are riding on an animal, or one person riding on the animal and one person leading the animal, that we would split the item. So could it really be that we're going to split the animal in half? Ha'afsidua, you're going to completely destroy the animal by splitting it in half. Bishlama tehora, chazi lebasar. Now maybe you could tell me the animal that we're dealing with in the Mishnah is a kosher animal, in which case it could be beneficial, it could be useful if we split the animal, because a kosher animal could be eaten. So maybe we'll split the animal in half and you'll eat the meat, and then there will still be a use for the animal. Even after we split it in half, you won't be destroying the animal. Eletmea ha'asadua, but if you have an animal which is not kosher, which you cannot eat, then you're going to completely destroy the animal by cutting it in half. Ela lidme, it must be that what we mean when we say we're splitting the animal in half is that we split the value of the animal in half, and each person collects half of the value. So ha'kanami lidme, the same should be true basically in any other case. We can use this to prove that in all cases we should really split it based on value and not based on an exact cut in half of the objects.
The Gemara could have been consistent along with their previous answers and answered Chazil and Nachrim.
Chazil and Nachrim, but
if you say Chazil of Bnei Malachim, where the market is really tiny, I mean, how many Bnei Malachim could you sell this to? It's a very small market.
Well, is the Gemara assuming that you're going to be selling it to Bnei Malachim, or is the Gemara assuming that maybe the people fighting over
it? Selling it to Bnei Malachim. What's the value of it?
Well, isn't that the same as Lidmei then? Meaning, if what we mean when we split the item is that we're going to sell it for the value, then that should be the same as the maskana.
So what does Chazil of Bnei Malachim mean?
I thought what it meant, and the Chazil of Ktanim maybe, is let's assume that we have Ktanim who are fighting over it, but let's say we have adults who are fighting over a garment.
They have Ktanim?
If they have to split it, they have children
so
for whom it could be
kings.
Useful.
Let's assume we have kings.
Right, I think that's what the Gemara is saying, and it's in Ukimta.
I don't think so.
But if it's just Lidme, then how do you understand the maskana of the Gemara? I mean, yeah. That seems to be the same as Lidme, right? If you're always just selling it.
Yeah. So what does Afsidua mean? Afsidua means a total loss, or Afsidua means...
It's not a useful item anymore.
Okay. So this is still a useful item. You can give it to a guy. You can give it to...
Wait, but so what's the use to you of giving it to a guy?
You do him a favor, now he owes you something.
You do him a favor and now he owes you something. Yeah.
What's the use of giving what's the use of giving it to the child of a king?
Well, if he's your, child. Well, I think, what's the Gemara saying?
The Kimta can't be that two kings are Shnayim Ochsim Batalas. You can't say that.
But the Gemara makes crazy Ukimtas like that all the time.
No, that can't be it.
The Gemara has Ukimtas, maybe a kof was the one colored the garment.
It's not the kovod shel malachim to be arguing like this.
Yeah, that might be true, but
the dignity of the melech is totally wiped out.
When arguing with another melech, is it possible?
Over a garment?
I guess let's just discuss for 1 second. What happens when the Gemara says, Elo lidmei, hachanami lidmei? So I think when the Gemara retraces and says, hachanami lidmei, it's really saying in all the cases, the way we're going to split it is for the value.
For the money.
We couldn't prove to you that any of those cases were just going to be split for the value. Why? Because you had a good ukimta, a good dichui, where you could push away the question that we were asking and say, no, really, you are splitting in half and it's fit for children or it's fit for the children of kings, etc. But once the Gemara gets to a case where the only way we can explain it is that you're splitting the value, that sheds light on every case, that in every case we're just splitting it for the value.
Is it physically possible? Physiologically possible to cut an animal in half and get equal value?
Sure.
Is it?
Well, if you
shech the animal, then you divide up the meat.
No, if you do it vertically, meaning each person gets one eye, then seemingly each half should be equal in value. Right?
What do you do with the get an usha?
What do you do with the get an usha? So machlokas, whether it's only on the right side or also the left side.
So
but,
we pass
but if it's a non-kosher animal, or you're saying, is there a get an usha by a non-kosher animal? You can't eat any of it.
If it's a kosher animal.
Right. If it's a kosher animal, then you have a get an usha. So if there's a get an usha on both sides, then that shouldn't change the equal value.
So how do we pass on
it? I think we pass on it's only on the right side. I could be wrong. You should correct me. But I think we may pass on that it's only on the right side. So yeah, then you'd have to deal with the get an usha. Maybe you split the value some other way. So I hear it's a good question.
Sfardim did take out the get an usha, right?
Sfardim didn't take it out. Oh, as far as them...
They do take it out.
They do take it... Yeah, they know how to take it out, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not sure what Lidmei would mean.
Which question are you talking about?
The question of how are we splitting it for the name of Lachim? Are we just selling it to children? Yeah. Is the king really going to buy the item from you? Are the children of the kings going to buy the item from you? So I don't know.
Chazi Lachim means you can give it to the child of the king. You can give it to the king as a gift.
So then you're really not getting any benefit from it. I mean,
I think you are.
What about for the Ketanim?
First of all, the mere fact that the king accepts a gift from you, the cover that accrues to you, you know, it works in Kedushin. You know,
no, that's
woman,
what I'm saying.
If a woman gives Adam Chashev money,
right? Maybe it works.
She becomes Mekadeshes with the honor that he accepts it. You know, so
maybe it works also with Mishloach Mano. It's a permanent topic. Yeah, but what about Lektanim?
What do you say?
The child of a king.
No, that's Livnei Melachim. Yeah. But what about Lektanim? What benefit do you get from that? From the guy who's the father of the child?
From the
if you're giving a gift to a child, what benefit are you getting?
Well, so the child's not really going to help. It's supposed to be your cousin.
If it's your cousin, that's back to what we were saying before. That you split it up and you give it to your ketanim.
Right, but that's a direct benefit to you if you have children. If you're talking about the name of Elohim, you have to give it to the children of a king.
Why didn't you say that? Why don't you go with the word that says, we're all b'nei b'lachim?
What?
We're all b'nei
b'lachim. Right. Yeah. All Jews are b'nei b'lachim.
But once we're saying that, you're giving it to...
No, not b'nei b'lachim. Melachim. The Gemara says... That Jews are b'nei melachim.
Yeah, you have b'nei. Yeah, I think you have both.
Both versions.
You have both.
Right.
But let's just go back for 1 second. And we'll end on this thought, and we'll keep going.
Yeah.
But if we're gonna say that the chazal ketanim means you have your own children, I don't think it's such a crazy ukimta to say that b'nei melachim is the children of kings. Why? Because the Gemara is assuming that a talis musheves is only roi for regal people. So if the Gemara has a case where we're talking about a gold plated beged, it must be that it belongs to kings. Otherwise, we wouldn't have an ukimta that the smaller garment is only fit for the children of kings, but not for normal children. And Mela, it comes out that that case should be talking about kings and the children of kings, the same way the previous case is talking about normal people and the children of people.
Let's not get bogged down.
But a little bit hard to figure out. If it just means that we're selling it, then what's the difference between that and the Dmei? Great questions. Always amazing hearing people's thoughts. I'm not positive, but let's keep going. Amar Rami Bar Chama, Zos Ameres, Hamagbiya Metzia Lechavero, Karna Lechavero. So Rami Bar Chama says, this tells us, unclear exactly what this is, Rashi tells us that it's the Mishnah, which tells Rami Bar Chama about this, and the Gemara, later on Amar Aleph, is going to discuss where in the Mishnah Rami Bar Chama saw this point. But Rami Bar Chama says, if you pick up a lost item, a found item for your friend is actually kona that item by you picking it up. Because if you think that your friend doesn't acquire the item when you pick it up for him, I saw a girsa in the Oz Bahadur Gemara, maybe some people have in front of them, that they take out this second clause of vizu kamisha manachas al gabi karka. I'll explain it one second. Velo yikne lo ze velo ze. And neither party should acquire the item. Meaning, the diuk of Rami Bar Chama is coming from somewhere in the Mishnah. So Rami Bar Chama says, if it's true that when you pick up an item on behalf of your friend, he doesn't acquire it, then in the Mishnah, when we say shnayim ochzim betalis, that two people pick up an item, what should happen is, let's say the first guy, Ruvain, picks up half of the talis, and he has, let's say you cannot acquire the item for your friend, the other half of the talis that Ruvain is not grabbing should be considered as if it's just sitting on the ground, and he shouldn't be able to acquire any stake in the talis because the rest of the item is just sitting there unclaimed. He's not acquiring it in any way. Must it not be that when you acquire an item for your friend is kona? Let's see the Rashi. Zosomeres. Masnisin diktani shnayim shehigbiyu mitzia kanua v'yachloku. The Mishnah, which says that when two people pick up an item, they both acquire it and they have to and they split it. Uchse magbia magbia ledasha yikne b'chavero chetzia. And when you pick it up and your friend is also picking it up, then you have intent that your friend should also acquire half. So shma mina hang magbia mitzia lechavero kona chavero. We bechule Rashi says. We can infer from there that when you pick up an item for your friend actually acquires a stake in it. Because, says Rashi and says the Gemara, if that would not work, if acquiring an item for your friend would not acquire it for him, then when you pick up half the talis, the other half of the talis should be considered as if it's sitting on the floor. Still, nobody's picked it up. And you shouldn't be able to acquire it. You haven't done a proper hagbah on it. And says Rashi, "Belo yikne lo ze, belo ze, v'cholarotze yachtefena miyadam." Anybody who wants should be able to come and steal it from these two people who are trying to acquire an item. So that seems to be Rami Bar Chama's diuk.
But that can't be the fact pattern that he had in mind that his friend should.
Right, because he's trying to acquire the whole thing. Right, so the Gemara is going to deal with that. Let's see how Rava responds, because Rava throughout, even at the Maskana of the Gemara, Rava is going to reject this diuk of Rami Bar Chama. Amar Rava, la'olam eimel l'chaha magbiya l'metziya l'chavero lo kana chavero, v'hacha hainu taima migo dezachi l'navshe zachi nami l'chavre. Says Rava, really I would tell you that when one acquires an item for his friend, the friend does not acquire the item. And here, in the Mishnah, the reason they both acquire a stake in the talis is since you're acquiring the item for yourself, you can also acquire the item for your friend. Essentially, what's happening is Rami Bar Chama's case, Hamagbiya Metzila Chavero Kana Chavero, is talking about when you pick up an item for only your friend to acquire a stake in it, but not for you to acquire a stake in it. And we're trying to prove from the Mishnah, where both people acquire a stake in it, that when you pick up an item for your friend acquires a stake in it. So it says, Rava, no, maybe your point is incorrect. Maybe picking up an item for your friend does not enable your friend to acquire it. And the only reason in the Mishnah both people acquire a stake in it is because they're both trying to acquire a stake in it. So migo dezachi l'nafshe, since let's say Reuven is trying to pick it up for himself also, then Shimon can acquire a stake in it. But when Reuven picks something up only for the intent of Shimon and not for the sake of himself, then maybe even Shimon doesn't acquire a stake in it.
Why don't you say here Reuven's picking it up and he intends for Shimon not to acquire it? And even though he intends
exactly
for Shimon not to...
That's exactly what's happening.
Right, that's exactly what's happening. But what we know the din is at the end of the day is that Shimon does acquire a stake in it.
So not because of Reuven's action.
So Rami Bar Chama is trying to deduce, to infer from the Mishnah to a totally different case where Reuven is not trying to acquire for himself at all, and he's trying to use the Mishnah as a parallel or a paradigm for that. And Rava says, no, it's not a good parallel because you're talking about a case where only one person acquires a stake in it. Here, we're talking about a case where both people acquire a stake in it. The Gemara, when it tries to figure out where exactly Rami Bar Chama is coming from in the Mishnah, is going to deal with the fact that in the Mishnah, there seem to be totally different things going on. Mm-hmm. Two people are trying to acquire both for themselves. It doesn't seem to fit. So the Gemara is going to have to figure out exactly what the diuk of Rami Bar Chama is. Rava just has a support to his point that the Mishnah is not a raya that Hamagbiya Metzia L'Chavero Kana Chavero. Is Teda, Shilu Amar L'Shlucho Tsei Vignovli Viganov Pater. You should know that I'm correct that Hamagbiya Metzia L'Chavero Lo Kana Chavero is true. Why? Because if a person tells his agent to go and steal something for me, and that agent actually goes and steals, then the person who sends the agent is Pater. Why? We discussed this in Baba Kama also, that Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera, that you can't appoint somebody as an agent to do a sin for you. And if you do, and that person goes and does the sin, the agent is responsible, the person who sends it is not responsible. So when you tell somebody to go steal for you, if he steals, you're exempt because you didn't do anything. V'shutfin sheganvu chayavin. But if you have partners who steal, they would be obligated. And Rashi points out that the shutfin that we're dealing with, the partners that we're dealing with who steal, the ha'echad, says Rashi, dibar maskel ve'ilu shutfin sheganbu, the ha'echad hotzia mirshus bailim ledaita ledas chavero. So Rashi says we have to specifically make the case the exact same as sending an agent. So the case of partners is a case where only one person is stealing it from the owner's possession, from the owner's domain, on behalf of himself and of his friend. V'shutfin sheganvu chayavin, says the Gemara. When partners steal together, they're both obligated. So says the Gemara, my time. Why is it that partners who steal are obligated, even if an agent who steals doesn't obligate the person who appoints the agent? La mishum de'amrina migo de'zach le'navshe zach le'nami l'chavre. Isn't it because we say that since the person, the one partner who's stealing, acquires a stake in the item by stealing it, then he also steals it and acquires it for his partner, for his friend? So Shema Mina, that Rava's point is correct, that the only reason in the Mishnah they both acquire a stake in it is because they're both trying to acquire a stake in it. But if you're dealing with a normal case of Hamagbiya Metzia L'Chavera, where a person is only picking up the item for his friend but not for himself, then maybe he would not acquire it even for his friend. So Machlokas, Rami Bar Chama and Rava, whether picking up an item for your friend could be Koneh or not. And the Gemara, again, we'll get back to it, is going to discuss where Rami Bar Chama was coming from in the Mishnah and why Rava still rejects it even at the end of the day when we figure out exactly where he's coming from.
So is Rami Bar Chama trying to establish Zachal Adam Shalai Bifanov, or he doesn't hold from Zachal Adam Shalai Bifanov? He's trying to prove it, or what exactly is he trying to do?
It's a good question. You're saying it should just follow the normal laws of Zachin La'adam Shalom B'fanav. If you find a mitziah,
if I buy something in the store for someone else, that person acquires the object, right?
Right.
So it should certainly work when I'm not spending any money.
Right. That's a good question. I didn't see anybody who addresses that explicitly. What's the difference between this and the normal Zachin? Not positive. It could have to do with a Kinyan Hagbah. What we're going to see on Amud Beis,
I'm making a Kinyan Hagbah.
I know, but there are going to be some Kinyanim which don't work for Metziah. For example, the Gemara on Amud Beis is really going to discuss a lot about Mesira, when you give something over to a person, and it's going to tell us that that doesn't work in the case of Metziah. So maybe there was a thought that, let's just say it's even a thought, maybe it's not such a big chiddush, but there was a Havamina possibility that picking up an item wouldn't work on behalf of your friend. So maybe Rami Ruchama is just coming to tell us that that does in fact work. It's obviously a debate, so let's flip the question on its head. What would Rava say? Why is Rava rejecting this notion? Does he not hold of Zachal Adam Shalom? Right. So I'm not sure it's an interesting question.
Seems like a universal principle.
Right, you would think. It's Beferish Mishnayis when we say Zachal Adam Shalom Lefanav and Ein Chavin Adam El Lefanav. How exactly Rava could reject it.
A get and a Shtar Shechur.
Right, exactly. Good, it's a good question. I don't know, we'll have to table that for now. So it says Rava, I'm a Rava. Hash the Amar to the Bach changes the Girsa. Hashta de Amri, de Amrinan. Now that we've said that we say Migo, meaning because Rava just said, since you can acquire for yourself, then you also can acquire for your friend. So says Rava, once this principle of Migo is true, then Cheresh Ubikeach Shigbiu Mitzia. If you have a deaf person and a normal sound person, who, I don't mean sound through hearing, I mean sound through his mind, a normal person and a deaf person who pick up an item together, mitoch shekana cheresh kana pikeach. Since the deaf person acquires the item, because Rashi says the Rabbana and the rabbis instituted that a cheresh who finds an item will actually be koneh, and you can't steal from him, and that's mipnei darkei hashalom. So since the deaf person acquires the item, then the normal person also acquires the item. So says the Gemara, bishlama cheresh kana deka magbalei ben das. It makes sense how the deaf person could acquire the item, because the normal person on the other side of the object is also acquiring and picking up the item. Elapikeach b'may kana. How could the normal person acquire the item if the cheresh is not a Bendas, and he's the one who's picking up the other half of the item? So how could the Pikeach acquire the item if the other party who's picking up the item in conjunction with him is not a full Bendas? Ella Ema, says the Gemara, you're right. So we have to retrace and say that Cheresh Kana, Pikeach Lo Kana. The deaf person acquires the item, but the normal person does not acquire the item. So then I ask the Gemara, my Migo. Rava started this whole statement with Hashta da Amrinan Migo, now that we say Migo. So I ask the Gemara, well, what's the Migo that we're saying? If only the Cheresh acquires, but the normal person does not acquire the item, what's the Migo here? So says the Gemara, Migo, the Shnei Cherishin Baal Makanu, Hainam Mikani. The Migo is that since in general two Cherishin, two deaf people could acquire an item together. Why? Because they're both deaf and they both have this institution that you can't steal from them. So this Cheresh who's picking it up in conjunction with a with a pikeach also could be kona. So ask the Gemara, Haimai, that's not a good comparison. Im timtzilomar habibia betzila chavero, kana chavero, even if you say that when one picks up an item for his friend, the friend acquires the item, hani mili hecha de kamagbele adaisa de chavre. That's only true when you're picking up the item on behalf of your friend. But hai adaita didei kamagbele. This pikeach is picking up the item on behalf of himself. And the Cheresh is also trying to pick it up on behalf of himself. So, iu lo kani l'achrine makni. If the pikeach can't even acquire a stake in the item for himself, then is it possible that he could acquire a stake in the item for the Cheresh? That doesn't make any sense. So, it must be that the Cheresh also should not acquire a stake, since the pikeach doesn't acquire a stake. And therefore, the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. Ele'ema mitok shelo kana pikeach, lo kana Cheresh. Rather, what we have to say is, since the pikeach cannot acquire the item, why not? Because the cheresh on the other side of the object is picking it up for him, and he's not a ben da'as. So then, also, lo kana cheresh, the deaf person also is not going to acquire a stake in the item. V'chitema ma'ishna mishnei cherishin da'alma. And you might ask, well, what's the difference between two cherishin in general, who could both be kona, and this one cheresh, the one deaf person, and the one pikeach who are trying to acquire this item? So it says, Gemara, hatam takinu l'rabanan dalo ati le'ansuyeh, but hacha meimar amar pikeach lo kani an achni. When you have two cherishin, when you have two deaf people, so there's a rabbinic institution that they should both acquire the item so that they don't come to fight with each other. But here, where you have one cherish and one pikeach, the cherish is going to say to himself, pikeach lo kani, if the normal person didn't acquire the item, then how am I possibly going to acquire the item? So we're going to assume if you have one deaf person and one pikeach, since the pikeach can't acquire the item because there's a cherish on the other side, so too the cherish can't acquire the item either, because the pikeach opposite, and bless you, is not acquiring it for himself either. So that's the discussion back and forth, Rami Bar Chama and Rava. Now, the Gemara picks up with the question we've been waiting to see, which is, Amar le Ravacha, Bari de Ravada, le Ravashi, Ravacha, the son of Ravada, says to Ravashi, Tukye de Rami Bar Chama Mehecha. The diuk that Rami Bar Chama made, Zos Omeres, the Mishnah is telling us that when you pick up an item for your friend acquires it. Where is that diuk coming from in the Mishnah? So we say, Inem Amiresha, if it's coming from the beginning of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says, Shnayim Ochsim Batalis, two people are holding on to a talis, they each say it's completely theirs, so they make a shvua, and no less than half of it is theirs, and they split it. So hatam haikamar kula shali va'anagwa sekula, the hayamar kula shali va'anagwa sekula, right? The question that Moshe Rudy, everyone's been alluding to all along, is in the Mishnah, each person is saying the entire item is mine, and I picked up the entire thing. So what does that have to do with picking up an item on behalf of your friend? Ela meha diktani ze omer kula shali, veze omer kula shali. Where it's really coming from is the end of that clause where each party says, Kula Shali, that the entire item is mine. So the Gemara points out, Hatulamali, why do I need to know that the item belongs to each party entirely if they've already said that I've found the item and I was Mabia, right? The Gemara dealt with this on Daf Beis, whether each clause in the Mishnah is necessary, but what the Gemara is saying now is, for sure we don't need each party to say Kula Shali, that the entire item is mine, and maybe that clause tells us that Hamag Biyam Metziel Lechaver Kana Chavera. Ella, Mi Mishnah Yeterah Shmamina, Hamag Biyam Metziel Lechaver Kana Chavera. The fact that we don't need each party to say that it's entirely mine, and yet the Mishnah tells us that it's entirely mine, that tells us that a person who picks up an item on behalf of his friend is going to acquire it from his friend. So ask the Gemara, well, that doesn't make any sense. We already said the reason we need both cases, we need both clauses in the Mishnah, is because the Mishnah is really dealing with two cases. It's dealing with the case of a found item, and it's also dealing with a case of a purchased item. So don't tell me from the extra clause in the Mishnah, I know that Hamagbiya Metziel Lachavero is Kana Chavero, because you're already using the second clause in the Mishnah to teach me something else. So says the Gemara, yeah, you're right. Elami Seifa. It must be coming from the end of the Mishnah. Ze omer kula shali, ve-ze omer chetzya shali. The Mishnah had said, if one person says the entire item is mine, and the other person says half of the item is mine, so they each make a shvua about the part that they're disputing. One person says no less than 3/4 is mine, the other party says no less than 1/4 is mine, and they split that half that they're disputing. So says the Gemara, Hatulamali, why do I need this case? It's basically following the exact same principles as the beginning of the Mishnah. From the fact that the Mishnah taught us this extra case, which we didn't need, that must be teaching us that when you pick up an item for your friend is kona. So then I asked the Gemara, well, umimai de b'metzia, how do you know that this case is dealing with a case of a found item? Dilma b'mekach u'mimkar. Maybe it's dealing with a case of mekach u'mimkar. Meaning, we said in the beginning of the Mishnah that we really have two cases. We have a case of a found item, and we have a case of a mekach u'mimkar, a case of a purchased item. So when the Mishnah continues on with other cases, that other case, or those other cases, could either be a metzia, or they could be mekach u'mimkar. So if we're trying to learn a principle of hamagbia mitzia lachavero, kana chavero, this case that we're trying to learn from better be talking about a found item. But if we assume, which it's unclear, but if we assume that it's talking about an item which is purchased, then how would that teach you anything about hamagbia mitzia lachavero, about somebody who picks up an item for his friend? V'chitema ibe mekach u'mimkar ma'ala meimra, and if you'll ask, if this last case in the Mishnah is talking about a purchased item, then what's the chiddush? It's obvious, right? I think Rashi says here, maybe not. But it's obvious that if it's a purchased item, that they would split the item based on the claims that they're making. And we already know what the din is in a case of mekach u'mimkar from the beginning of the Mishnah. So where are we going to learn this point of hamagbia mitzia lachavero from? If it's from the last case in the Mishnah, it's unclear. The Gemara is continuing on here. V'chitema ibi mekach u'mimkar ma'ala meimra itzrech. Sal kadaita chamina haide kamar chetzeh sheli lahavi kemeshev aveda v'lipater. We would need to know about a case of mekach u'mimkar in the end of the Mishnah, because you may have had a havamina, you may have thought that when a person says that half of the item is mine, lehavi kemeshev aveda, maybe he should be treated like somebody who's returning a lost item to his friend, because he's not claiming the other half of the item. So the half of the item that he's not claiming, maybe it's as if he's returning that to his friend, Vili Pater, and therefore he should be exempt. This is where Rashi comes in, Vili Pater Mishvua. Since you're doing this great chesed, that you're returning the item to your friend, you're saying that half of it is not yours and it's really your friend's, maybe you shouldn't have to make a shvua in such a case. So Kamash Malan Dehai Irumi Kamarin. The Mishnah is therefore teaching us that you do need to make a shvua, because the Mishnah assumes what this person who is doing when he says only half of the item is mine and he's returning the other half to his friend is he's really being tricky over here. He's trying to fool the person. He's trying to be deceitful and saying, Savar, yamina kula sheli ba'ina ishtabuye. If I say that the entire item is mine, I'll have to make a shvua. So imahachi, therefore I'll only say that half of the item is mine, de'ahavi kimeshi vaveda ve'ipater, so that I'll be treated as someone who's returning a lost item to his friend on the other half of the item that I'm not claiming, and then I'll be pater from a shvua. So now what the Gemara has established is, really, the first two cases we need, one for Mitzia and one for Mekach u'Mimkar. So we're trying to bring a diuk about Rami Bar Chama's point from the end of the Mishnah, but the Gemara is bothered that we don't know for sure that that case is the case of a found item. Maybe it's a case of Mekach u'Mimkar, and there's really something the Mishnah is teaching us by repeating a case of Mekach u'Mimkar. We wouldn't know it from the beginning of the Mishnah, because it'd be teaching us this notion that a person who claims only half of the item is not treated like a Meshav Aveda, is not treated like somebody who's returning the other half to his friend, and therefore could be exempt from a Shvua. He's still obligated in a Shvua, he's just trying to be deceitful. Ella, says the Gemara, okay, you're right. So none of the cases that we've tried to bring from the Mishnah are going to be a good support or a good makor, a source, for Rami Bar Chama's diyuk. So we need to find another case of the Mishnah. Ella Meha, it comes from the end of the Mishnah. Hayushnayim Rochvim Magabi Behema, where the Mishnah taught that if two people are riding on an animal and they're both claiming it as their own, so then they have to split it. Hatu Lamali, why do I need this case? Ella mi Mishnah Yeterish Mamina, Amabia Mitzila Chavero, Kana Chavero. This case seems to be extra. It's teaching us the exact same dinim as the beginning of the Mishnah, and therefore we must be able to infer from here that when you pick up an item for your friend acquires the item.
What's the logic in all of these situations that if two people are claiming something or riding on an animal, what's the logic? How does that lead you to Magbiya Mitzila Chavera Kana Chavera?
Let's see Rashi, Mi Mishnah Yetera, towards the bottom of the page. Mi Mishnah Yetera, Rashi is basically saying this throughout. In any case that we're trying to learn from, we're assuming that the extra case in the Mishnah is Amrina de Hamagbiya Mitzira Vechule. We can assume from the Mishnah that when you pick up an item for your friend, that your friend acquires it. Umishum Hachi Amrina Nyachloku. And the reason we say that they split the item in the Mishnah, we don't say that you're acquiring for your friend, is the Amrina Shneim Higbiyua. Because we assume that both parties picked up the item, and each party is picking up an item for himself and for his friend, Vikani, and they're acquiring it. If you think the reason we're splitting it is because we don't know which person is lying, And it'll be treated like money, which is disputed, and they have to divide it with the shvua. Mishum shelo yehi kol echad ve'echad holech v'tokif k'damrinan la'el. And the reason that they have to split it is we made this rabbinic institution so that each party won't go and grab onto the item of the friend. Hashaminon le'mireisha. We already learned that from the earlier cases. So essentially what Rashi is saying is, it's possible that in the Mishnah, each party is claiming the item. And the reason we require them to make a shvua and to split it is because of this rabbinic institution that we don't want you to just go and grab onto a person's money and you're going to split it with him. So we require you to make a shvua and hopefully that'll deter you from doing it and then you can split it. So Rashi says, that's fine. That could be the chiddush of the Mishnah. That seems to be the chiddush of the Mishnah. But that could only be the chiddush of the Mishnah in one of the cases. You can't tell me that in every case the Mishnah is just trying to teach you the same thing because that would be redundant. So it must be that in the later cases, what's really happening is each party is trying to acquire it for himself and for his friend, and that's why they split it. But that would tell you that in a normal case where you're trying to pick it up only for your friend and not for yourself, that you could actually acquire it for your friend. That's what the Gemara is assuming throughout, according to Rami Bar Chama. And Rava, I guess like you guys, are sort of rejecting this notion that it doesn't really seem to fit the Mishnah. So Rava also is ultimately going to reject it at the end of the day and say, I don't like that. So right now the Gemara is trying to prove that it's coming from Shnayim Rochvin al Gabi Behemah when two people are riding the animal. So ask the Gemara, V'dilma ha-kamash malan, the Rochev na mikani. Maybe this case in the Mishnah is just trying to teach us a different point, which is that when you ride an item, that can work to acquire the item. So the Gemara says, okay, let me seifa. You're right, that's also potentially a good thing we could have learned from the Mishnah. Therefore it won't tell us, I'm going to be metzila chavero kana chavero. So we have to learn from the end of the Mishnah, which says, Bizman shehen modim, o sheyesh lahen eidim, Cholkin below Shvua. The Mishnah concluded by saying, when both parties agree about the ownership of the item, that the other party also owns it, or they have witnesses, if they have witnesses who can prove that they own the item, Cholkin below Shvua, then they would divide it without a Shvua. So says the Gemara B'mai. What's the case that we're dealing with where they would split it without a Shvua? Ibimekach l'mimkar, tzrich l'meimer. This is where the Rashi came in that I was looking for. If we're dealing with a purchase item, then do we even need to tell you that they would split the item? That's obvious, says Rashi. Tzrich l'meimer, dehecha delikucha bin shneim, sheyachluka below Shvua. It's obvious that if you have two people who purchased an item and they have witnesses testifying that they purchased it, that they should split it without a Shvua. Elav b'metzia. Must this case where we're saying you split it without a shvua, it must be talking about a found item. And from the fact that this case in the Mishnah isn't really needed, we can tell you, we can learn that when you pick up an item for your friend acquires it. Rava says, no, the last case in the Mishnah is different because in the Mishnah's case, you're also acquiring a stake in it. That's why you can acquire a stake for your friend. But in the general case, Rami Bar Chama's case, where you pick up a lost item, a found item for your friend, only for your friend and not for yourself, you're not going to acquire a stake even for your friend. So a long dispute, exactly where we're coming from in the Mishnah. Once we finally figure out where we're coming from, still Rava rejects this principle of Rami Bar Chama and says, no, when you acquire an item for your friend, you do not do anything, it doesn't acquire. Now let's move on to the discussion of the Mishnah about riding. I'll have to move through this a little quickly. Hayu shnayim rochvim. Let's say two people were riding on an animal. So Amar Rav Yosef, says Rav Yosef, Amar li Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda told me that shamis minei demar Shmuel tarti. I heard two things from Shmuel. Rochiv umanhig, a person who is riding an item, riding an animal, and a person who is leading an animal. Chad kani, bechad lo kani, velo yadana hay minayu. One of them, whether it's Rochiv, someone who's riding, or Manig, someone who's leading, does acquire the animal, and the other one does not. And I don't know which one acquires the animal and which one does not. So ask Mar Hechidami, what's the case where Rav Yosef was confused, quoting from Rav Yehuda, was confused which person would acquire an animal? Ilema Rochiv lechudei, or Manig lechudei. If we're dealing with one person riding it, and there's nobody else dealing with this animal, or alternatively, one person leading the animal, and there's nobody else dealing with the animal, then Manig lechudei mi'ika manda amar lokani? Is there anyone who would say that manig, that leading the animal, is not going to be kona? Says Rashi, ha-mashicha hizo, v'hema niknes b'mashicha. Leading the animal, pulling the animal, is a kinyan mashicha, and everybody holds that a kinyan mashicha is going to work. So what the Gemara is saying here, ela i'ika le'meimar, delokani, rachav hu de'ika le'meimar. So if there's going to be a case, if you're just dealing with rachav l'chudei, just riding the animal, or just leading the animal, then it's obvious that just leading the animal is going to be kona. And if one of them is not going to be kona, it has to be that Rachav is the one which is not kona. So the Gemara basically then says, well, okay, if Rav Yosef or Rav Yehuda wasn't sure which one is kona, Rachav or Manig, And it's obvious that in the given case, if you're just riding or just leading the animal, that leading would work, and therefore riding must be the one that doesn't work. It has to be that he was confused about a different case, because if he was just dealing with one person riding or one person leading, he would know which one's kona, and by inference, he would know which one is not kona. Ella rachov b'makom manigi v'elei. It must be the case where Rabbi Yehuda was unsure which one would be kona, is where one person is riding the animal, but another person is leading the animal, like the Mishnah. So therefore, what was the question? What was the question that he was bothered with? Rachiv adif da hatafis ba, odilma manig adif da azla machmasne. Do we assume that riding the animal is preferred, and you're gonna, the one who's riding the animal would be kona the animal, because he's actually holding on to the animal, he's seated on the animal, he's probably holding the reins of the animal, which is Gemara is gonna discuss later. So would the person riding the animal be kona? Odilma manig adif da azla machmasne. Or would we say that the person leading the animal is preferred, and he's the one who's gonna be kona, because the animal is actually moving, is actually walking, because of the person leading it. And maybe that's a better kinyan. So that's the question that Rav Yosef and Rav Yehuda were bothered with. So I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, I'm really Rav Yehuda, that Rav Yehuda told him, Nichsi Anan, why don't we try to infer the answer to our question from the following case? That's Nan, because we have a Mishnah coming from Kilayim, which says that Hamanig Sofeg Es Arbayim, if a person is leading, says Rashi, Beshor V'chamor, if you have an ox and a donkey, so there's an Isser in the Torah, Parshas Kitetzeh, that you're not allowed to lead an animal, an ox and a donkey together. That's actually the example that the Pasuk uses, Lo tacharosh b'shor v'achamor yachdav, that you can't plow with an ox and a donkey together. So let's say a person is leading both an ox and a donkey together. Says the Mishnah, the person leading the animals would be Sofeg Es Arbayim, he would get whipped. V'hayoshev b'karon Sofeg Es Arbayim. And let's say this ox and donkey were pulling a carriage. The person riding in the carriage would also be whipped for his involvement in this iser. But Rabbi Meir poter et yoshev b'karon. Rabbi Meir assumes the person sitting in the carriage would not be whipped for his participation in the saveira. Umida apich Shmuel v'tani v'chachamim poter et yoshev b'karon. The fact that Shmuel switched around the positions in the Mishnah and Shmuel said the chachamim are the one who exempt the person riding in the carriage from lashes, but Rabbi Meir would obligate the person riding in the carriage. So Shma Mina Rachov Lechude Lo Kani, the Kol Shekein Rachov B'Makomani. I can infer from the fact that Shmuel exempt a person who rode in a carriage that was using animals of Kilayim together from getting lashes. I can infer that Rachov, that riding an animal or riding in a carriage, is not a significant action. You won't be able to acquire the animal, even if you're the only person riding in the carriage, and then all the more so that if somebody else is leading the animal too, you're not going to acquire the animal. Rashi just points out, why did Shmuel flip the position of the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir? So what we're assuming is Shmuel thought that was correct lahalacha, that a person who rides in the carriage is not whipped. And because we assume yachid v'rabim halacha k'rabim, if you have a dispute between the masses versus just an individual, we paskin like the masses. So Shmuel wanted the halacha to come out that a person is pater if they ride in a carriage that's being led by animals which are kilayim together. And therefore he switched the shitos from the Chachamim to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir to the Chachamim, because he thought it has to be that the Chachamim, the halacha, are saying a person would not be whipped if they ride in this carriage. But what you see from Shmuel doing that is that riding an animal is not a significant action, and therefore riding alone should not be kona, and it should follow the question that we're running about, who's going to be kona in a case of a person riding an animal and a person leading an animal, that the person leading the animal will acquire it, the person riding the animal will not.
Sitting in a carriage is not comparable to sitting on an animal.
Right, so the Gemara is going to address that also. Amalei Abaye Rav Yosef, Hazimnin Sagin Amartalan Nichsi Anan, Kedal Amartalan Mishmei de Rav Yehuda. So Abaye is all bothered that Rav Yosef told over this whole sugya, quoting from Rav Yehuda, because says Abaye, many times you told us over this whole sugya, you said this point of Nichsi Anan, let's try to infer from this Mishnah, and you didn't say it in the name of Rav Yehuda. So Amar Lei Ivra, you're right. I do remember that sometimes I say it in the name of Rav Yehuda, sometimes I don't. That's my bad. Udachrana, and I saw a different girsa. Udachrana, I remember Nami the Amri Lei Hechi Pashim Ma Rochev Miyoshev. I also remember that the Amri Lei, I believe, would be I said to Rav Yehuda, who tried to infer from this Mishnah, that how are these cases comparable? Right, Moshe's question. Hechi Pashim Ma Rochev Miyoshev. How could you infer what the halacha is by someone riding the animal from a person sitting in a carriage? Yoshev lo tafis b'moseira, rachov tafis b'moseira. Because a person riding in a carriage is not holding on to the reins of the animal, but a person who's riding the animal is holding on to the reins of an animal. And we're assuming that holding on to the reins of the animal is like mesira, is like a kinyan of giving something over, and that should be significant. So maybe it's true that it's not significant to ride in a carriage, but it is going to be significant to actually ride on top of the animal. But Amrli Rabbi Shmuel, the Amri Tarvayu, and Rabbi Huda responded to me that Rabbi and Shmuel both hold mosira lo kani. Yeah, it's true that a person riding the animal is holding on to the reins, but we assume that holding on to the reins is not significant. That's not going to allow you to acquire the item. Therefore, I can infer from a person riding in a carriage to a person riding on top of the animal, because they're parallel from the standpoint that the extra significance of a person riding the animal holding onto the reins is actually inconsequential or insignificant. Lamaskan. Ikad Amri, another version of the story, is that Amr le Abaye le Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef was just telling over this whole sugya, and Abaye was the one who asked this question. Hechi pashima rachov mi Yosef. How could you infer about a person riding on an animal from a person riding in a carriage? If Yosef lo tafis b'moseira, rachov tafis b'moseira. A person sitting in a carriage is not holding onto the reins, but a person riding on the animal is holding onto the reins. And Amr le, hachi tana idi. He said, yeah, well, Idi, Rashi says Idi is a Shem Chacham. One of the Chachamim said, Mosira lo kani, that holding onto the reins is not going to be Kona. This type of Kenyan would not work for an animal. That's how I can infer about a person riding the animal from a person sitting in a carriage. Imar Nami, Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Amar Rav Huna. In a similar vein, Rabbi Chelbo said in the name of Rav Huna, that Mosira mechavero kana, v'mitzia uvenichse hager lo kani. That when it comes to the reins, what we're really discussing here, Rashi points out, is we're really discussing just a normal Kenyan Mesira. The Gemara was assuming that holding on to the reins is going to work through a Kenyan Mesira. And now when we discuss Mosira, when it's Kona, when it's not, we're essentially just discussing a regular Kenyan Mesira. So the halacha is going to be that a Kenyan Mesira from your friend works. But if you're just finding an item, or you're trying to be Machzik, you're trying to be Kona b'nichse hager, you're trying to acquire the possessions of a person who converted and died and doesn't have any heirs, so therefore the possessions are considered Hefker and they're just up for grabs, it's not going to be Kona. In a case of mitzia or nechse hager, and Rashi says mesira eino kona b'mitzia aji olichenu v'takor yad v'regel. When it comes to a regular item, you're not going to be kona through mesira until the animal actually walks. V'ava gavde b'mechira kani k'detan b'hemagasa nikne b'mesira. Even though if a person's selling you an item, you could acquire it through mesira, as the Gemara says in Kiddushin, legabe mitzia lo kani k'damrin in time of the kama mishmaitin. The Gemara is going to address in a second why it is that you're not kona. When it comes to mitzia, my lashon mesira. Ask the Gemara, what is this language of mesira that we're using? So I'm Rava Idi Asperli. It says Rava, this Idi, this Chacham, explained to me that it's ka'adam hamosir davar lechaverav. It means that a person is giving over an item to his friend. So bishlamo mechaverav kani de kamaser lechavre. It makes sense how you could acquire when you're trying to acquire something from your friend through mesira, because you have your friend who's giving over the item. The whole notion of this kinyan is that somebody is giving it over. So it makes sense how you could be kona from your friend. El b'mitzio b'nechse hager, man kamaser le delikni. But when you're just finding an item, or when you're acquiring the ownerless property of a ger who died, who is there to give it over to you such that you could be kona? You're not going to be able to be kona through a kinyan mesira when it comes to a found item or when it comes to nechse hager, because no one is there to give it over to you. You don't have the das being transferred through the transfer of the item. So ask the Gemara Mesive, Hayushnaim Rochvim Agave Behema Bechule. We have our Mishnah, which said that when you have two people riding on an animal, so we basically end up saying that they split the item. So ask the Gemara Mani, who is the author of this Mishnah? Ilem Rabbi Meir, if it's going to be authored by Rabbi Meir, then Hashta Yoshev Kani, Rachum Mibaya. If Rabbi Meir, based on the way that we flipped the Mishnah, we said that Rabbi Meir is going to be Mechayev, a person who rides in a carriage that's being led by Kilayim. So Rabbi Meir assumed that riding is a significant action, and you could be Kona. So if according to Rabbi Meir, Yoshev is Kona, just sitting in the carriage alone is going to be Kona, then Rachum Mibaya, then it's obvious that riding the animal will also work, and therefore there's no point of the Mishnah to tell me that rachuv, that riding the animal works. El alav rabbanan, shouldn't the author of the Mishnah be the rabbis? Ushma mina rachuv kani, and we can infer from the Mishnah that riding the animal actually is kona. So that's directly against what we just said, whether rachuv, that we said rachuv cannot be kona. So says the Gemara, hachu b'mayaskinon b'manig b'ragla. The case in the Mishnah where we're assuming that riding the animal actually will be kona is a case where a person is basically driving the animal, that they're leading the animal while riding it using their legs on the sides of the animal. So says the Gemara, ihachi hainu manig. If that's the case of the Mishnah, where a person is riding the animal but using his legs to steer the animal and to lead it, That's the same as manik. So the Mishnah should have told us, oh, shahayu shnei manhigim. Why do we say one person is riding the animal and one person is leading the animal? In this case, even the person riding the animal is technically considered leading the animal. So it says the Gemara, trei gavni manik. The reason we refer to this as rachlev, even though it's essentially leading, is because there are two different types of manik. There's two different types of leading. There's the leading of riding the animal and steering it with your legs, and there's the leading of just holding the rope and leading the animal. So ma'u detema rachlev adlev dahamanik vitafusba. You might think that rachlev, that riding the animal and leading it, is preferred to just leading it by a rope because you're both leading the animal and you're holding on to the animal. Kamash malan. Therefore, the Mishnah tells us that riding and leading in such a way is not preferable. They really both have equal ownership, and that's why they have to split the item at the end of the day. Okay,
thank you.